Three, two, one. Welcome to another episode of Harvest Now Conversations. We got a live audience today. Pan to them. Oh, maybe not. Maybe they don't want to. All right. All right. So we're back with another topic. This month's topic is about moving and flowing with the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be talking about that in this episode. So we'll have to start with who is the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of people just thank God, but then, you know, let's get into it. So I think Jamison has the answer to that.
Amen. So the Holy Spirit is just is simply one third of the Godhead, of the Trinity. And we get the word Elohim, which is the Hebrew. And that breaks down to a plural sense of God, not singular. So when we say, you know, one third, there's God the Father, God the Son, who is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, who is as equal as God the Father and Jesus himself.
So yeah.
That's who the Holy Spirit is.
Yeah.
I would answer that question.
Does anyone have anything to add to that? Any scripture?
Yes, I'm just finding it.
Okay.
It's in John. So the word for helper in John, when I find it, is Parakletos. So does anyone want to jump in while I try to find the verse?
John 16.
Yep, John 16. I'm trying to find it in the Amplified.
Oh, okay. Verse 7. Oh.
Verses 13.
7
and 13.
7
and 13.
Yeah.
All the way down.
Mm.
Yep.
Do
you want me to read 7?
Yes, please.
Okay. Verse 7. So this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you."
Mm. Amen. So I'm going to read it in the Amplified Classic Version. So this is Jesus talking about Holy Spirit. "However, I am telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, the Counselor, Helper, Advocate, Intercessor, Strengthener, Standby will not come to you into close fellowship with you. But if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you." So the word in the Greek, Parakletos, essentially underlines these qualities of who the Holy Spirit is. So he is the Counselor, the Helper, your Advocate, your Intercessor, your Strengthener, and your Standby.
Yeah. So a verse that I want to bring up is Luke 3:22, and that's when Jesus was baptized. So Luke 3:21, when all the people were being baptized, and this was by John, water baptism, Jesus was baptized too. "And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" So prior to that, Jesus hadn't done any miracles. But this is after that, that's when he started to do miracles. That's when he started to do all the healing and walking on water and all that stuff. So what we learn here is that Holy Spirit, just like what Gerard, I nearly said Pastor Gerard.
Whoa.
Maybe that's prophetic. Maybe that's the Holy Spirit in me. Maybe.
This is fun having you know.
Like Holy Spirit is the one that enables you to do all the miracles, enabled Jesus to do everything that he did. The way Pastor Larry says it to me is Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. So Jesus was saying in the verse that Jamison and Gerard was reading, Jesus says that it's better for you that I go away so that the Holy Spirit comes. Mm-hmm. So that's a crazy statement, because Jesus is amazing. Mm-hmm. Jesus is so powerful. He is God in walking in the flesh, and he's saying that it's better for me to go away so that the Holy Spirit can come. Mm-hmm. And that to me just blows my mind, because it tells us that what we have now, what's available now, is much better than when Jesus was walking around. Because think about it now, if Jesus was still alive now, especially with social media and that, he would be a celebrity. Back then, he was already well known. He was already famous, and it was such a difficult thing to do to get a hold of him. Imagine now, yeah? So Holy Spirit is Jesus unlimited. He's everywhere, and he can live in you and enable you to do the same thing. Jesus even says, greater works you will do because I go to the Father. So, yeah. Does anyone have anything to add? Or who is the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, I'll add something.
Yeah.
In what Gerard just read, who the Holy Spirit is your helper, he's your comforter, he's your advocate, and like he's your standby. And I was just looking up today, I was looking up what standby means because I didn't actually know what it means. And in Google translation, it says readiness for duty. Mm. And I'm like, wow. So the Holy Spirit is always ready. Like,
amen.
Holy Spirit in us is always ready, yeah, to yes. bring God's kingdom here on earth. Mm. And that's amazing. Like, I never knew what that meant until today. And I'm like, wow, readiness for duty.
For duty?
Duty.
For duty. And for Judy. Ha. Wow.
And for
praise
Judy.
God.
If you're listening, yeah. Judy.
I just wanted to share that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, let's hear from Cheyenne. Who is the Holy Spirit to you?
Yeah. Praise God. We were just talking about it in a meeting with Pastor Chris. We're talking about the Spirit of the Lord. And if there's one word to describe him, what would you say? Mm. And I said power.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Power. So he's the influence. He's the voice. So advocate also means someone who speaks on your behalf in all legal cases and everything like that. So... he speaks on our behalf because he's the Spirit of God. Mm. He's the Spirit of God, and he speaks for us.
Mm.
Praise God. So we've been born again by the Spirit, so the Spirit of God speaks for us.
Yeah.
So, and he's also the author of the Bible.
Mm.
So he's that influence and that voice that speaks to us as well.
Mm.
And he inspires us. He's the inspiration from heaven.
Yeah.
To speak to us, to speak through us as well.
Mm.
So, yeah. That's all I have to add.
Something I will add also is when I experienced the Holy Spirit for the first time. So just a bit of context. I grew up in church and I sat under teaching my whole life. But even though I basically lived in church, I had never experienced God, and I didn't know how to apply his word. But then when I experienced Holy Spirit for the first time and I started hearing him and I got that spiritual encounter, everything that I learned my whole life started to have life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like all these verses that I had read as a kid and was taught to me, all the stuff that Pastor Chris has been preaching, Pastor Paul, Pastor Dean, Pastor Rod, all of that was in me, dormant. But then when I experienced and got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he connected all the dots. And it was like, it was so overwhelming, like, wow. And like when you get revelation, you get so much joy.
Mm.
Yes. And I was just overwhelmed. And just like what Pastor Gerard was saying, Holy Spirit's the teacher,
yeah.
And he teaches. He teaches you how to understand the word. And I think as well, when people who don't have the Holy Spirit try to read the word and try to interpret it for themselves, they start to make up their own doctrine. But then when you come across believers that have the Holy Spirit, that show that with evidence in tongues, you find, like, I've always found that our beliefs are aligned. And I think it's because it's the same Holy Spirit, you know, yeah. Same teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shall we move on?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what does it mean to flow with the Holy Spirit? Has anyone ever flowed with the Holy Spirit?
Of course, mate. Of course.
What happened?
Okay. So most recent example, I was preaching last Sunday and, you know, I had all my notes and stuff as well, but I was just led off the page, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
I wasn't referring to the notes I had anymore. It was more of Holy Spirit speaking through me. One thing I pray every time I speak is, Lord, use me as your megaphone. Mm. I don't want to say anything that you wouldn't, and I don't want to do anything that you wouldn't. Mm. So I only want to ever say things that you would say and do things that you would do.
Mm. So what does that mean? Like, does that mean he possesses you? Something, a perception I had was like, Lord, use me. And then I tried to let him, let him move my body.
That's a really good question, because when I was a believer and stuff as well, I'd hear the same thing, Lord, use me. And like, do I get possessed by the Holy Spirit? The most simple way I can answer that question is that the Holy Spirit does in some way take over what you say. It's like your mind, like, sort of turns off in a sense, yeah. And it's like you are speaking from Holy Spirit now. Mm. Holy Spirit is speaking through you. Like, I remember where we were praying for Jello at one point, and these words of prophecy came up that I didn't even know. Mm. Words of encouragement and stuff that really hit him. And afterwards, I didn't even remember what I said. Only parts of it. And I knew that's how I knew that was Holy Spirit for sure. That was God speaking through me. So it's, I wouldn't say possession. I feel like that's not a right word to use for Holy Spirit, because he, like we share at church, he's a gentleman. Because we're business partners, mm. if you want to call it that, we're working together, mm. right? Mm-hmm. So I want to always be working with him and for him. Mm. You know what I mean? So in terms of being possessed by the Holy Spirit, you know, there's people who definitely seem like it, where they're just full on fire for God, mm. and it seems like they are possessed by the Holy Spirit. But look, that's just a person after God's very own heart. Mm. That's the simplest way I can put it. So in terms of flowing with the Holy Spirit, it's you moving out of the way and letting him mm. Talk and act through you. Mm. So there's scriptures in Acts where the apostles say it seems good to the Holy Spirit. So these people have known the Holy Spirit so closely that they know that it would seem good for him. Like my girlfriend Christine, like I know, like, oh, it would seem good if I, you know, bought her a Maxibon ice cream or something. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, it seems good that, you know, she'd want me to do this. Mm. She'd want me to do that for her. Mm-hmm. You know, and that is the same sort of relationship that the apostles had. And that, and even then they were being led by the Spirit because they were so closely intimate with him. Mm. And that's the invitation Jesus gave us in John 16, for us to be intimately close with the Holy Spirit. Mm. So when you're intimately close with the Holy Spirit, flowing comes naturally. Mm. It's a natural byproduct. So
yeah,
that's, I hope that makes sense. Mm. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. What would you say, Jane?
I would say, I think, yeah, Gerard, like, in another word that I would describe what Gerard is saying is just submission mm. and
That's
surrender.
That's a good word, yes.
Surrender to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And so the Holy Spirit will never go against God's word. Mm. If you look at it, the Holy Spirit will always point back to God, mm. will always point to praise Jesus.
Yeah.
And yeah, if the way I think this term, to flow with the Holy Spirit, is coined from, like, you know, the river of life, mm. You know, flowing from the presence of God, from the temple, mm. and
out of our bellies shall flow.
Yeah, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of living water as well. Yes, and so if you were to think of it like, if you were fighting against something, going in your own direction against the current of a stream, mm. then yeah, you're like, you'd stay stagnant, or mm. at the very best, or like, you try in your own strength, but you get tired. Mm. But to flow with the Spirit, to flow along the currents of a stream, is to just, you know, have you ever, you know, floated in a stream? I've recently learned how to float in water. I never knew how to swim before.
Was it the thing I told you? Please tell me.
Maybe just holding in my breath. Yes, I guess that helped a bit. Okay. but yeah, so to be able to do that, like, and just like be able to just like lay and rest mm. in a mm. river, and just to let the river carry you.
Yeah.
So it's not that I'm like overtaken by it, but I'm submitting. Mm. I'm not fighting against the stream.
You know what I'm thinking about? You know that ride in Jamboree?
Oh.
And you're in like floaties and stuff and you're like getting carried around. That's what I'm thinking about. Mm. And it's like a really good example and like a visual picture to see, like to show you how flowing with the spirit is. Like you can go against it as much as you want, but in the end, you're going to start flowing with him anyway.
Yeah.
Mm. And at Jamboree, there's a bunch of people flowing with you, right? So you never flow alone.
Yeah.
And it's like, but anyway, sorry, I cut you off.
No. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like that's always been the picture in my head when I think of, you know, what does it mean to flow? Because we could always, you know, conjure up something in our own thinking and be like totally off. And then, but you know when it's in the Holy Spirit, like when you're flowing in the Holy Spirit, where everything just clicks, everything is connecting, and it's not, and like you're not struggling with it. You're not fighting for your way.
Yeah.
It's just happening because you're in submission to what God already wants you to do. So
That's good.
Yeah, I want to say another strong word that heavily connects to what these guys are saying is yielding. To yield is to become basically like almost like one with.
Yeah.
You follow the exact same direction. You become in sync with whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. So to flow. You know, I would want to add as well that it takes practice.
Mm. Yep.
Mm. It takes practice. It takes intimacy.
Yeah.
It takes being able to discern the voice of God.
Mm.
Because you could be yielding to something else.
Yeah.
For sure.
If it's going against God, then you're yielding to something else.
Yeah.
But like what Shayan said, it always points back to Jesus, always points back and lines up with the word.
Yeah.
Then that's when you know it's through the Holy Spirit. And and that takes time. Like I've got a picture in my mind of like these guys doing group fitness classes, right? It didn't take, like you guys didn't pick up, you know, the choreographs straight away, right? You had an instructor there.
Yeah.
You had a teacher there showing you how to do it.
Mm.
But it took you time to learn how to pick up the pace, to know when to like follow the tempo.
Mm.
Takes practice, just like yielding with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The teacher's there. He's always teaching you, but it takes,
it takes
effort. Yeah, it takes effort. It takes time.
Yeah.
Patience to learn how to sync with how the Holy Spirit wants to operate.
Mm.
It's a skillfulness, just like what Pastor
exactly
Chris
right.
was saying.
That's good, man.
It's about practice.
Mm.
And something I wanted to add was the times that people have come up to me and say, that was really good, like you were flowing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, to be honest, 100% honest, I thought I didn't do good. And it's consistently been that way. Every time I've felt like that wasn't good, someone has come up to me and been like, that was anointed. And what I learned from that is when I'm not trying, when I am not trying to make it good, that's when Holy Spirit can be like, yes, finally I can finally do something, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm trying and I'm taking the reins rather than him when we're talking about is yielding.
That's good, bro.
And a key that Jamison brought up is like, who are you yielding to?
Yeah.
And I think the main way to ensure that you're not yielding to anything else is to be in his word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so overflow with his word.
Mm, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have to say, Guan?
That's good, everybody. I would say the same thing. But yeah, no, it's good. Yes.
What's your experience with flowing with the Holy Spirit?
Well, yeah, it takes time. Like Jamison said, you gotta know who the Holy Spirit is and how He works, right? The Holy Spirit is His intimate. He wants to be intimate with us, so it takes time to know someone.
Mm.
So, for the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, right?
Amen.
That's what the Word talks about. So, if you're a son of God and the Holy Spirit is in you, you can flow with the Holy Spirit because
right.
He's in you.
Yeah.
One thing in my experience, surrender is one of the things that I do. I don't know if it's just me, but I have this switch in my mind where like I turn off my thoughts and just let the Holy Spirit move.
Mm-hmm.
So I shut off my mind. And honestly, like the things that I do when I share at the front most of the time, that's not me, man. Like that's not something that I would do like at all. So, like, when I'm singing up there and I'm, you know, having this word, that's not me. Like, normally, that's not something that I would do. So surrendering and submitting to the Holy Spirit, like the word also talks about that he will give you the right word at the right hour. The Spirit of God will give you the right word at the right hour. And that's the word that I always stand on when I'm sharing. When sharing with someone or sharing at the front, the Holy Spirit will give me the right words at the right hour. He comes through. But you have to have a relationship with him. Because otherwise you won't be able to work with the Holy Spirit if you don't know don't know him. You can't work with someone that you don't know. It's going to be, you know, you got to have partnership. You got to have an agreement. And the Holy Spirit always agrees with the word of God. So that's good. So that's my experience with the Holy Spirit.
Something that we're all working on getting out of our vocab is God using us. Because something Pastor Paul told us is God doesn't use people. He works with. And I think that's another key with flowing. Like, it is that working with. So how do you guys, how would you guys describe the leading of the Holy Spirit? When you're flowing with the Holy Spirit, what does it feel like, Gerard?
It can be different for a lot of people. So I think the way the Holy Spirit works with me might not be the same way Holy Spirit works with Cheyenne, Guada, Jamison, or Angela, or the person, my friend, listening on the other side of this podcast. So for me, it's like my heart, I really can't explain it if I'm honest. Like there's just, I just know it's him because of the practice time that I did early in my walk. Like now I know it's him. Like at the start, it's like, oh, I'm not sure if this is God or not. Then you take a step forward and you're like, okay, that wasn't God. And then you're like, okay, so Holy Spirit, help me hear your voice more. Help me, in terms of like how it feels, it's like, sometimes like it depends on the context as well of like where you're doing it. So, you know, if you're at Macca's ministering to a mate, it might just be Holy Spirit just brings up scripture, right? Or he brings up scenarios where it would help this person, or you know, you start saying all these different words of advice and wisdom and knowledge and stuff, and this guy, the person you're having lunch with or whatever, is like, well, how did you know I'm going through all this stuff? Or, dude, that's exactly what I needed to hear. So Holy Spirit knows the person that you're talking to; he knows you as well, and it's not, I wouldn't say it's a feeling. It's just a, it's more of a knowing than it is a feeling. And it's more of trusting that he's going to, going to, be ministering through you. Because if we're surrendered, we're open to, it means that we're open to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. There's another, one other instance I'm thinking about was when I was up there exhorting, after worship one time. And then I really felt in my heart that it was time for some people to get healed. And I remember distinctly it was Guada and Ataria. So I felt in my neck like a little spark like that. And I was like, all right, someone's got something in the back of their neck. And then something else about joint pain, blah, blah, blah. And then I ask up before I finish exhorting, did anyone get healed? Guada shoots her hand straight up, comes to the front. She's like, when Gerard called out someone someone with a stiff neck, my stiff neck vanished. I've been working hard, this and that. But when he called it out, it just disappeared. Ataria came to the front as well. She said she had like I don't know, some form of arthritis after pregnancy or something like that. I can't really remember from the top of my head. But she said she couldn't like bend her wrist in a certain way, and after we prayed, she was just shaking her wrist and everything, and she's like, I couldn't do this before. So the Holy Spirit knew the issues in the church physically, and he got me to be like, all right, Gerard, this is what's going on in the church, call it out, and I'll do the rest, right? So I trust Holy Spirit to say, okay, this is what's going on, call it out, and then I'm going to do it. So in terms of feeling, not so much. It's more in trusting and knowing.
What about you, Chayenne?
Like, how would I describe it? I've heard the term, like, intuition.
Yes.
Like a gut you have a gut feeling. And, you know, yeah, and I agree, like, it's just that trusting, like, it's just knowing. It's just knowing. And it's, the best that I can compare it to is like a mother's intuition. Mm. It's just like, you just have this sense like something is going to happen. Mm. And then, you know, and you put yourself in a position where if this does happen, then boom, I'm ready. Mm. So like I've heard so many testimonies of like my mom and I've read testimonies of women or like not even mothers, just having this sense or like, and it can be, I don't know, I'm putting it in a bit of a different context, mm-hmm. but yeah, just being worried for their children, mm-hmm. but it's not like a out of fear, right. But it's just like, you know, yeah, something doesn't feel right,
right.
And just this kind of, you know, just this gut feeling, mm-hmm. that, yeah, and so the solution to that would be, many times if this is happening to you, Holy Spirit wants you to pray. Mm. Bible says, do not worry about anything, but pray.
Mm.
Pray until that worry goes away.
Mm.
Pray until you get peace. So yeah. So there was this one testimony of this woman. Her son was in, I think, Vietnam. And he was a pilot, and his plane got shut down, and then his black box just completely shut off, and everything, all his signals were like completely cut off, and at the same time, like all across the globe in America, his mom was praying, like she just got this unction or this like this gut feeling. Like my son is in trouble,
mm.
like, and so she started praying. She prayed for an hour or so until she felt like, oh, okay,
yeah.
I feel like it's okay, like there's peace there. And so, yeah, and then it turns out, she found that out later, like all his systems was down, and then until she stopped praying, like there were people on the ground, like. Raiders or something like that, and they were just on the search out looking for him, but they couldn't see him.
Wow.
Like he could see them, but they couldn't see him.
Wow.
And then until she stopped praying, that's when all his systems were back up again.
Wow.
So yeah, like that wasn't like, you know, in Bible times, that was just like, you know, not too long ago.
Mm.
And so yeah, like just unctions, like little gut feelings. So in the, yeah, that's just a different context, but yeah, just having that little sense. And I think as well as, you know, coming from the context of like ministering to people,
mm.
talking to people, yeah, it's just I mean, there's nothing wrong like with just stepping out there,
mm.
like putting yourself out there and trusting, like, is this you, Holy Spirit? I'm going to step out in faith and do it anyway.
Yeah.
And so through learning that by trial and error,
yeah.
like you'll learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done that heaps of times. I've said wrong words to to the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, but there's always grace.
Yeah.
And I've never been like, you know, shunned or you know, pushed away by the Holy Spirit because of that. Yeah, like he sees faith and yeah, he honors that. So yeah.
Yeah. Like when it comes to gut feeling, the times that I've in hindsight have heard the Holy Spirit is when I forgot something. You know, like I forgot to bring something and I'm like, I had a sense.
That happens to me so much, dude.
Yeah.
like the umbrella stuff as well, because it's raining, it's like, oh, don't forget your umbrella. It's going to be, it looks pretty good today. Man, it's pouring down, man.
Yeah. Like, I've made it a habit now when I'm just about to close the door, I'm like, I wait like 10 seconds because I know, like, I need time for my mind to process what my my gut, where Holy Spirit is trying to tell me. Mm. Because I get this sense, like in the past, I would get this sense of like you're missing something.
Mm. Yeah.
But then I would forget it because I'm in a rush, and then I go. Mm. And then on the day, like when I'm there where I need to be, I realize I forgot something. Mm. So yeah, that gut feeling. What about you, Guara?
I would say the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a gut feeling. It's just that, knowing that he's just like we don't see God, but we, you know,
yeah,
by faith we believe in God, right?
Yeah.
Have you guys heard? I can't remember which movie it was, but it says, "You can't see the wind, but you can feel it." type of thing. What movie is that again?
I don't know, dude.
But yeah, it says that you may not be able to see the Holy Spirit, but you can definitely sense him.
Mm.
Like, I think there were plenty of times where, like, when I'm about to, like, speak to someone or minister, like, I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. Like, he's there.
Mm.
He honors obedience. He honors when we, we invite Jesus to the room, when we invite the Spirit of God into the room. And, like, I think I mentioned it earlier, you got to know him.
Yeah.
You got to know what the Holy Spirit likes.
Yeah.
Like, he's a person.
That's right, yeah.
And there were times where, it's really just gut feeling. Yeah. Like the way I am with Jamison, right? We're husband and wife. We're intimate. Like we know each other that way. And I think there were plenty of times where Jamison would withhold a word and the Holy Spirit would tell me to tell him that you've got a word. So it's that type of relationship, right? Like we know each other like that. Mm. So... it's really just trusting the Holy Spirit, and like don't be afraid to make mistakes. Like
yeah 100%.
It's a risk. because we don't see the Holy Spirit. It's a risk, but yeah, don't be afraid to make mistakes. But you know, God is faithful. God is merciful. So and like he's a helper too. So if you're struggling with that, if you're struggling to hear his voice, just ask him for help.
Yes.
Like it's that easy. Like just be real with the Holy Spirit. Like. We've all been there. We all struggled, is God really real? Or is the word really, you know? But the Bible talks about that Holy Spirit is your helper, your comforter, your teacher. So ask him. He will teach you. He will help you.
Mm. Yeah.
It's that simple. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Gemma.
Yeah, what I want to say is, so yes, basically what everyone is saying, it's the strongest word I can connect it to is intuition.
Mm.
But it's not just... intuition, generally speaking, it's the sudden sense that is backed up by God's will.
That's
according
right,
to the word and by confirmation.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because I know for myself, even before I became a Christian, I would consider myself an intuitive person. Mm. And you hear people all over the world, you know, despite being Christian or not, like I say, I've had this gut feeling, I had this sense and instinctive feelings. But in the sense that we're talking about, it's always in line with what God wants to do.
Mm.
Like, for example, like you were mentioning about like the protection of these children, you know, that's God's promise. I will protect your children, you know, and this is him backing him up. Mm. Cause people get gut feelings all the time, but it's always in line with bringing glory to the Father.
Yeah.
It's always in line with the word. It's always in line with and backed up with confirmation elsewhere. Mm. And I'll give an example of me, sensing something from God, right?
Mm.
In a very practical sense. So one time I was driving on the road, and there was this car behind me, and he was really, really up my alley, like driving up my like my backside, very tightly. And I was super tempted to just speed, and because I know I don't like speeding because I've lost my license in the past.
Mm.
Not worth it. So if anyone's listening to this, don't speed.
Mm.
It's not worth it. Anyway, so I was so tempted, and I just started calling out to God, like, God, help me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really tempted, and I'm just also remembering how the word says that he will not, you know, bring you to a point of temptation that you cannot escape.
That's right.
And I was so tempted to just floor it. I was like, the road is empty. No one else is here. Why not?
Mm.
You know, why not just, you know, speed a little bit? And then all of a sudden, there was this strong sense that came upon me that said, pull over.
Mm-hmm.
It was very strong. I said, okay, I pulled over.
Mm.
And the second that I pulled over, a highway patrol car drove right past me.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, anything could have happened, but that guy could have easily looked at me and said, you know, you're speeding, you know, lose your license, just like that.
Yeah.
And God knew exactly that you know, I was tempted. I was tempted to speed. I could have potentially lost my license again, which would have been, set, you know, a delay in whatever I need to do, waste of time. But there was just a sudden inkling, like we say, this inner witness. There was this intuitive sense that just came upon me that says, pull over.
Yeah.
So that's just one example. And another example that I wanted to share, just so I can paint a picture of what this looks like, is one morning I woke up like really early. And then I had this sense to just go to the gym. So I work at a gym. So the gym that I'm going to is where I work at. I get there at like 5 in the morning, 5:30, which I'm never there to train, like ever. It's not a thing for me to do. And then I say, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here today. And then all of a sudden, one of our staff members was missing. And everyone was trying to contact this staff member saying, blah, 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 we need you here. It's urgent. We need to be here. You're supposed to be there. You're rostered on. You're supposed to be there. Didn't respond. So eventually I was just like, you know what? I can fill in. And it worked out perfectly fine because, long story short, he wasn't in a very good mental space. So he was like, he was on high alert. And, you know, they needed someone to fill in. And I was already there. You know what I mean? Like, it was just something very simple. But I'm talking from an everyday life perspective. There was no way I would have, out of my own conscious mind, decided to go to the gym at that early in the morning when I had no reason to. And but I found myself there wondering why I was here. And then it just so happened that I was needed. And I was there. I was available. So just to paint a picture, it wasn't this sudden, like, loud, booming, audible voice, but it was just the sense that I need to be there at the right time or do something for a specific reason.
In light of what's going around in the world right now, in the Ukraine, I saw testimony from Ben Fitzgerald's Instagram story. So these two born again women living in the Ukraine had this feeling to just pack up and leave. They packed up and left. 2 days later, the house that they used to live in had been blown up by a missile. So the Holy Spirit led them to leave that house.
I saw another testimony of that bombing in Lebanon. On, was it a bombing or just a malfunction in a nuclear plant?
Yeah,
an explosion. A pastor of a church stopped the service, like at the very nearly towards the start, and he's like, "We have to go home." And everyone's like,
"We just started."
We just started church. Like, it's so it would be weird even if like say Pastor Chris was like, "We have to go." And it's like 10. We just started, you know?
5 minutes in.
That would be so strange. And yet everyone there was like, okay, let's go. And they left and then boom, the explosion happened. So yeah, it's that that leading. But a verse that I wanted to share that kind of confirms what Jamison was talking about. So Matthew 16:13, it's when Peter confesses Jesus as the Christ. So Jamison was talking about how people who don't even know the Holy Spirit can still hear from God. And so Peter, let's fast forward to 13. So now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ. You are the living Son of God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So right there we see that Peter is not baptized in the Holy Spirit yet, yet he heard from God. And then later on in verse 21, Jesus is talking about his death and resurrection, and Peter says, and Peter took him aside. Jesus is talking about his death, and Peter says, "This far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." And then Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." So you are a hindrance to me. you are not setting your mind on things of God, but on the things of man. Mm-hmm. So right there, you see that, and I can kind of relate with this in my previous story about how whenever people comment that, wow, that was from God, what you just said was from God, mm-hmm. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it. I had no idea. I just said it because I was just, I don't know, I was in the flow, you know? Mm. But I wasn't trying to be smart.
Yeah.
I just said it. And then they comment that. But here, Peter says something and Jesus praises him. Like, that's what you got is revealed by God, not by you. And then just a minute later... he gets rebuked, get behind me, Satan. You know, you're a hindrance, you know. And then he gives another key. Another key here is you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Mm-hmm. And the times that I have been in the flow, it's when I got my mind off of myself and on God. Yeah. And that is a big key, where you are not trying and you're not striving.
Mm.
So I think that's a big key as well. Something Todd White said that really ministered to me is like, when I'm striving, then I have to stop, because that means I'm doing it in my own strength. Mm. And what Pastor Paul said that confirms that as well is, if you're sweating it, then, you know, I forgot what he says after that, but if you're sweating it, it's not good.
Yeah.
Like, don't sweat it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, his burden is light. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And his commandments are not burdensome. So whenever we're trying to try and really stress, you know, yeah, it's not the way. This is not the way.
Mm.
You know, Mandalorian. yeah, I don't know if anyone here watches
that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another verse I wanted to share, I think has already been said, but just this is where it is. So John 5:19, Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son cannot do anything by himself. Mm. He can only do what he sees his Father is doing.
Yeah.
Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. And so I personally, when I... for example, praying for someone, or when I see that there are results, it's when I get images in my head. So, not pictures where I'm like, you know, my eyes are white. I'm getting an image. I'm getting a vision. You know, no, like it's just an imagination. Yes. Like it pops into my imagination.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And it's like something that I didn't conjure up. It came. It's in
just
my
out
imagination.
Of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And then I just say it. And then it turns out to be right. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, wow. That's very cool. Very cool. So, yeah, that is like something that flowing in, being led by the Holy Spirit,
yep,
is kind of like as well. You see pictures.
Yes.
And just like what Jesus is saying, he only does what he sees his Father doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, this episode's quite long. All right.
Okay.
So I think we'll end it here.
All right.
That was cool. Good episode. What did we learn? What did you get, guys? Write it in the comments.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's finish with prayer. Oh, Mary, do you want to say something? Okay, no, joking. let's finish with prayer. A question for everyone. Can anyone... be led by the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Yes. Can the person listening be led by the Holy Spirit?
Yes. Absolutely.
Can the person listening hear?
Yes.
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 All right. Yeah. Go out and lead them in a prayer.
Let's just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Yep, to those who are listening to my voice, just repeat after me. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. When you welcome the Holy Spirit, He's there. He's a gentleman. Yeah. He knocks at He knocks at the door of your heart. And when you welcome him, he comes in. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are there right now, wherever they are. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, that they can hear your voice clearly. In Jesus' name, for Lord, your word says, if they are the sons of God, they are led by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, that it is not a struggle to hear your voice. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, it is not a struggle to speak to you, oh God. In Jesus' name, and I thank you, Lord, that you just, Lord, just speak to them. In Jesus' name, whatever they need to hear right now, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you speak to them. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you give them the inner witness. In Jesus' name. So I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is hovering all over the earth. In Jesus' name, Lord, you are everywhere, oh God. In Jesus' name, wherever we go, there you are. In Jesus' name. So I just thank you, Lord, for those who are listening. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are already on the move. You're already changing their lives right now. In Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for transformation. In Jesus' name, complete transformation in their life. In Jesus' name. So I just thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, that, Lord, you never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, we have the Holy Spirit with us. In Jesus' name. So I just thank you, God, for everyone that is listening. Those who are listening, in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Father, that their spiritual ears are open to hear.
Yes.
Their spiritual eyes are open to see what you are telling them, what you are showing them. In Jesus' name. Be open right now.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. So I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Yeah. All right. Thank you guys for listening. And tune in to next week's podcast, where we talk about the anointing and miracles. Starting to see miracles in your own life and when you pray, and just flowing in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay. All right.
All right.
All right.
Catch you later.
All right.
Take it easy.
Don't sweat it. Thank you for tuning in to Harvest Now Conversations. We hope you got something out of it and want to stay connected. You can follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Harvest Now Church to make sure you don't miss out on any future content. You can also message us at contact@harvestnowchurch.com to suggest a topic to talk about or to ask us a question. Until next time, stay blessed and see you in the next podcast.